is what it is, and I'm with David in the studio. Very good morning to you, and what do you have in store for us this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Matthias. Good morning to our listeners. Today we are going to speak about the UN Security Council. We are going to speak about the UN Security Council.
Mm-hmm.
Why African leaders, especially this time or this week of United Nations General Assembly, they are calling for Africa to have a permanent seat in the United Nations Security Council.
Mm-hmm.
Why that organ is very important also. Why the United Nations Security Council did not change, particularly in terms of its permanent members, since 1945. And what are the roles of those permanent members, especially when it comes to global peace, security, and also maintaining order in the world. Because for quite a very long time, African countries have been calling at least Africa to have a seat, a permanent seat, because, you know, you can have a General Assembly, UN General Assembly attended by around 150 head of state and government. They can come up with a resolution, but for you to implement that resolution, you are at the mercy of five countries. And that is not fair, and that's why we are going to look at that organ. And is it possible? Because other countries have called for that, and we see what will happen, especially this week, if they are going to pass that, or it's just going to be a talk like any other talks. Because these are the people who have power to solve conflicts. When you have a conflict in DRC, when you want to send the UN troops, you don't need everybody to agree. You only need five permanent members in the United Nations Security Council. And when they are in conflict, they can also use that power to their advantage. And it's also quite contradictory when you find also permanent members who are also involved in conflicts, but they also have power to solve that conflict, except now China, which is... It's a bit standing on its own, but passing decisions, you are just blocked by five people. And the world have changed so much. And looking at the continent with the population of 1.4 billion people, and a GDP of 2.8 trillion, and you are the one who holds 30% of the world mineral reserves in the whole world. You are the main shareholder, actually, on an international ground, but you are still not respected. Why our president is pushing for that so much? Then we see maybe what are the opinions of listeners and also those who follow what's happening around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know. Because having a permanent seat in the UN Security Council provides the nation with increased in the national prestige,
yeah,
greater influence in global decision making,
yeah,
and a critical power, veto power that,
yeah,
is. But now given, for example, our foreign policy, which is saying that, you know, is non-alliance, like, enemy to none,
mm-hmm,
and, friend to all.
Yeah.
So now, if it comes to voting now, do you expect because, you know, African states have different foreign policies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so now when you evaluate, for example, now our foreign policy, do you think that, we can vote, for example, when it comes to anything of,
no, there's actually no difference, and that is actually in line with our foreign policy. Because if you go deep into our foreign policy and extend it, you realize to say, Namibia is supporting international cooperation,
yeah,
peace and security, and we support multilateralism.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the United Nations, that is a multilateral institution. That's why, even when you look at what the president have been saying, is to say, we are not in support of a decision made by one country, but we support multilateralism. That's why when you increase the number of permanent members in the Security Council, then it's very clear that that decision will be acceptable because it's made by almost everybody. That is exactly what we are doing, and I think it will be in line with our foreign policy, and it will also be in line with the way the Africa want to go. Because remember, Africa is trying to unite. Africa have been trying since 1963, but we see progress. We see implementation of Agenda 2063, but that will even accelerate because it's not correct. Look, when you have G20, for example, mm-hmm. it's going to happen in South Africa, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But South Africa is the host. It's like you are hosting a mini meeting in your father's house. Do you understand? And you are inviting your father. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is what is happening? And he has no right but to respect you because you have money. But that's not fair. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That's why South Africa is hosting, it's a chair of, G20.
Yeah.
But it's inviting the chairperson of African Union. The whole Africa can have to come to South Africa and say, no, chief, I understand you are the one who is chairing. But it's not even powerful. I think it's just an observer seat in the G20. But imagine you in your parents' house and you are hosting a meeting and you are the one who is chairing it actually, but you're inviting your father to sit even at the back. Do you understand how things are in the world? Yeah, that's why now I think Africa getting because what they are pushing is not really for one country, just to say give a seat to Africa.
Yeah.
A permanent seat. Then when you are making decision, at least you are, we also included, because imagine, like the situation in DRC, it has been there for quite some times.
Yeah.
When there was tribal war in Rwanda in 1994.
Yeah.
Where almost 1 million people killed within 6 months.
Mm.
UN troops were there, but the SG did not have power. They were waiting for those five guys to make decisions. But people were killing each other there. But if it was somewhere else, it could be that you would not allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's quite an interesting thing to look at. It's quite interesting thing to look at.
And just in a split second, about the G20, do you expect Trump to come to South Africa?
No, he has already indicated that he's not coming. He sent the vice president. I think, that is the highest, person that I think Trump also respect the G20.
Okay.
That's why when you send your second in command, it means that even if you are disagreeing, you still respect that.
Okay.
Unlike you are sending a secretary of the state or something, but if you send the vice president to South Africa, I think it's quite significant.
Yeah.
Because Ronald Ramora said, the world can still move on without but it's a good thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the powerful veto allows the permanent members to prevent any action in it opposes, ensuring its national interests are protected and preventing the UN from undertaking actions it would be unable to enforce. So on that note, I have to leave it there, and I trust that you have a good listening. From myself, Matthias Sangala, bye-bye for now.
Join us every weekday for the Twilight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight, before the sun comes out. Join us every weekday for the Twilight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight, before the sun comes out.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heari nola natu heari bali no heari ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's the right time to thank Matthias Angala with the Twilight. It's the right time to thank Matthias Angala. And yeah, we are greeting you. We are greeting you this beautiful Tuesday of the 23rd of September, 2025. And as you are always indicating, we are moving toward the end of the year. We are moving toward the end of the year, and it's always very important to look at where we come from, where we are going. And some of you are on your way to work, some of you are going back home, some of you are awake, planning on what do you need to do today, what are those things that you need to do. And some of you are evaluating your plan to say, man, in the past 6 months, I wanted to be here, but I'm not here. What went wrong? And what you need to understand is that it's not about how many times you are failing. It's how many times you are waking up and also look ahead. And it's always very important to make sure that when you are waking up, you have a positive mindset. We know the world is full of troubles, but the fact that you are awake, you are already ahead in terms of those who did not even get an opportunity to be awake. So, we are greeting you from Eagle FM Namibia. That is your number one talk radio station. That is your number one talk radio station in Namibia. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is your economic conversational program. This is a program that we discuss everything that is related to economy, development, trade, geopolitics, governance, food security, and also financial institutions. This is where we interrogate matters. This is where we analyze matters. And we are asking difficult questions to say, what are those things that are blocking Namibia to get where she want to get? What are those things that are blocking the motherland to get where, she wants to get? What are those things that our government is doing right? What are those things that our government is not doing right? What are those things that citizens themselves are also not doing right? What can we do? Because when we are at this platform, the aim is to bring about those thought-provoking questions, so that at the end of the day, we think, we innovate, and we also come up with new ways of doing things. So, like I'm always saying this morning, after every conversation that we bring about, this is not a one-directed conversation, actually. It's not a one-directed conversation, but it's a conversation which is accommodative, inclusive, and allows everybody to participate, give your questions, give your contribution, and also that you can also come up with your constructive criticism, because you don't necessarily need to agree with everything, because that is not how we build. We build based on ideas. We build based on ideas. We must build on contestation of ideas. And that is why we are always telling you to say you have your democratic rights of expressing your freedom of expression through calling on the radio, and make sure that your voice is heard. Make sure that your opinion is also heard, because it could be that you are a person who have more experience than a caller who gave a view. It could be that you did more research than who is presenting. It could be that you have a practical experience in that sector. Maybe you wrote a book about it. Maybe you have been in the field for quite some time, and your views and opinion will matter, because you are not only talking to me, you are talking to the public, you are talking to thousands of people who are listening to Eagle FM Namibia, and you are educating them with your views, and also directing them. That's why we are always accommodative, and we are very happy to engage with you, particularly on topical issues that, contributing to national development. Because look, where we are now as a country, as I'm always indicating to say, we are at a very critical juncture. It's either we define ourselves where we are going in the future, or we are breaking, because it has been for quite a very rough 35 years with progress and challenges, and with various types of leadership, and also with human beings or citizens who are in need, particularly with human development. We have seen our leaders, either from the constituency level, regional, and also a state level, speak about the same problem, speak about food insecurity. speak about hunger. We speak about, you know, quality education. We speak about the relationship between the market and also the education that we are giving. We speak about, you know, investment. We speak about degradation of institutions of governance. We speak about coherence, inconsistency, incoherence of policy planning and implementation. That is why when we are on this platform, we are interrogating those matters and we want to get things right because we are at the same platform of developing the country from a different sector. That's why it's always very crucial to engage with us and also connect with us. So before we go to what we have on the table today, like we are always saying, make sure that you connect with Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platform, Facebook, X, LinkedIn and Instagram, because when you do that, you have access to developmental economic news and also you have access to geopolitical news, policy planning and implementation. The other thing is also that we have an e-paper that is the Villager newspaper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And with the Villager newspaper, it's a very important newspaper because that is a newspaper that can be sent to you every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, and every Friday morning. And it contain economic articles, it contain developmental articles, it contain content of trade, investment, innovations. That is the reason we are telling you to say, if you are a student of economics, a graduate of economics, a student of trade, governance, or just somebody who is interested in development, or you are an SME operator, you are a business person, or you are an interested party, make sure that part of your sources of information is a Villager newspaper and you will not miss out. So what you can also do for you to receive the Villager newspaper for free every Monday morning, Wednesday and Friday, make sure that you send your name to this number and also save it as your WhatsApp contact detail, 081-200-4144. The other thing is also that there are those who are asking to say, Eagle FM Namibia, why are we not connected to you? Why? Where are you guys? And why are you abandoning us? No, it's not that way. We are still operational, but we found an alternative way of getting connected with us. In a situation that, you know, you are not connected to the frequency, you do not need to worry. You don't need to scratch your head because we have an alternative way of engaging with you. That is by downloading Eagle FM app. You can go to Play Store, go to App Store, and you can be able to download Eagle FM app, put it in your phone, and you automatically, the moment you just open it like that, you automatically listen to the programs which are on air, and you can also listen to the previous program by listening to or going to the podcast. Lastly, before we go to the conversation for today, is Imba app. Download Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book, which is in either is Oshiwambo, whether it's English, whether it's Afrikaans, Oshiereno, and many other local Namibian languages. So in a situation that you are at an event that requires you to use a hymn book, do not worry. If you do not have a hard copy hymn book, you do not need to worry. What you need to do, just make sure that, you know, you go to your App Store, you go to your Play Store, type in Imba, download Imba app, then you are sorted. Even if you are a pastor and you forgot your hymn book at home, or you gave it to one of the church members, or you left it somewhere, don't worry, don't panic, because we got you. The world is moving so fast to that extent that those who are advanced in terms of technological devices, those who are advanced in terms of understanding the digital platform, are the one who are going to survive and are the one who are going to make their work so easier, smart and fast. And that is exactly where the world is going. So the other thing is also that especially business people, from an SME operator, from a sole trader to a multinational company, for you to expand your arm in the market, for you to get a potential customer and increase your revenue, make sure that you advertise with us. advertise with Eagle FM Namibia. You can buy airtime on air. You can buy airtime on air so that you can be able to market and advertise your product. You can also be able to advertise through the Villager newspaper, because we are always telling you to say, if you invest money in advertisement, that is money, is revenue increment on your way back to the owner. It's money on the way back to you with interest, because I imagine how many people you are going to reach just by advertising with the Villager newspaper. How many people you are going to reach by putting, you know, by buying airtime on air. How many people you are going to reach in that regard when you do that? When you do that, it means that, you know, you will be able to reach those, clients, and, you will not regret, because money invested in advertisement is money back to you, in interest form. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 8 o'clock. We are here until the hour of 8 o'clock. That is why we are telling you to say, stay tuned. And, we will inform you, we'll engage you, and, we'll keep you up to date on what is happening globally, continentally, regionally, and also locally. And, stay tuned. So,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, we are starting with what is happening? What is happening at what is happening in the world? What is happening in the world? What are some of the new developments which are happening in the world? And also, what are some of the changes which are happening in the world, particularly in terms of the economy, in terms of development, and also in terms of governance. Let's start with the richest country in the world in terms of minerals, not in terms of human development or infrastructure development. Let's start with DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. It was indicated that the Democratic Republic of Congo, the world top cobalt producer, is lifting its export ban starting from the 16th of October. It's lifting, its export ban starting the 16th of October. And Congo will now control global supply through a strict annual export quota, the country's strategic mineral regulator announced on Sunday. So it's indicated that, Democratic Republic of Congo, being one of the richest countries in the world in terms of mineral production, stated that, you know, it has lifted the ban of exporting of copper, of cobalt, and it is stated that from the 16th, even small miners from DRC will be able to export cobalt. And for your own understanding, cobalt is a critical, it's a critical element, and that is used in electrical vehicle batteries. And also, it is stated that for the rest of 2025, miners will be allowed to export up to 18,000 tons of cobalt, which is allowed to be exported by miners. And it's quite a key development. It's quite a key development, particularly in terms of regulation and also balancing, the trade from DRC. And the question that you're asking yourself is that it's not the first mineral being exported from DRC. The question that you need to ask yourself is that who is benefiting from this, wealth in DRC? Who is benefiting from this wealth? And what does it mean? To the economy of DRC, because in terms of development, there are a lot of projects being proposed, investment coming to DRC, but what is the situation on the ground to an ordinary person in DRC? What is the situation on the ground to an ordinary person in DRC? It's also further stated that, this quota system is aimed to reduce oversupply, support prices, tighten market control, especially in the face of rising conflict in Eastern DRC, where illegal mining helping fuel M23 rebels. And, it's quite critical. It's quite also, need to be looked at, because among trading, there is also a need of controlling in terms of what to supply in the market, due to the fact that there is also competition from M23. There is also competition from M23, which is also controlling some of the minerals. Because when you look at Eastern DRC, you look at Kivu province, you realize to see there are also critical mines there where there is what is called illegal mining. And in DRC, when you have two parallel government, you now fail to understand who is calling which one illegal, and how long is this conflict going to be. And also, what will happen moving forward, especially when it comes to the development in terms of conflict and also peace in DRC. So let us look at what is happening. Especially on that note, when we are speaking about DRC, before we come to Malawi and also the United Nations, then we can also come to what is on the table today, what is on the table in line with what is happening. So, as you understand that in the world of changes, and also as you understand that in the world of changes and also in the world of unpredictability, friends and also enemies, they regroup and also realign. That's why in international relations, we are always saying in this program, as it has been said, to say there is no permanent friends or enemies, but permanent interest. It was stated that the government of DRC again has rejected Kenya naming a consul to occupy Goma. For your own understanding, a consul is a mini office which have function of an embassy, and Kenya being also cognizant about the economy, it was indicated that they put the proposal on the table to make sure that you know, they occupy, or maybe they have an office in Goma. They have an office in Goma, and Goma is one of the cities in DRC, which is occupied by M23, and Kenya government decided or has a proposal on the table to open a consul in Goma. However, the government of DRC have rejected that. And the question that you're asking yourself is that how can you reject something that you do not have control over? And why is the government of Kenya want to work with M23, which is not a legitimate government at that point, although they are interested party? Because at the point where they are now, they have power to negotiate, although the status of rebels, I think it's not significant anymore at that point, because they have power of negotiation and they receive international international recognition. And what you need to understand is that history changed with time. History changed with time when liberation movements were fighting for independence. And I'm not supporting anybody. But what you need to understand is that history can change things within time. When war prisoners in Robben Island were regarded as terrorists, after independence they were regarded as heroes because of the time and how things have turned out. And not going deep into that, let us look at DRC, Congo, and also let us look at what they have to say, especially when Kenya is proposing to open a consul in Goma and Kivu province.
Tensions between the Democratic Republic of Congo and Kenya flared up again this weekend. This after Kenyan President William Ruto on Friday announced the appointment of a consul general to the eastern Congolese city of Goma. It's been occupied for the past 7 months by the Congo River Alliance, which includes the M23 rebel group. Kinshasa has formally protested against what he described as Kenya's inappropriate decision. He says this amounts to disrespect for the country's territorial integrity and could appear to legitimize the group's occupation of the city. In addition, it says it was not officially contacted by the Kenyan authorities before making the announcement, as required by international law and diplomatic practice. The Rwanda-backed M23 this year seized swathes of territory in the eastern DRC in its long-standing battle with the army. Following its territorial gains, it's attempted to establish a parallel government as part of the Congo River Alliance. It claims it's freeing the region from what it alleges is misrule by Kinshasa. The M23 is one of many rebel groups attempting to gain control over the mineral-rich eastern region.
Yeah, that is what's happening. That's what's happening in DRC. What's happening in DRC? Somebody want to recognize, want to make an office in the country where peace is not yet there, or in an occupied territory. And you don't know what pushed Kenya to come to that point. And just for your own understanding is that, when you are in trouble, countries, they look at what they want from you. That is why it's always very important. It's always very important to make sure that when it comes to peace and security, that must be priority number one in your country. Because when you are in trouble, do not think countries that are aligning with you, they will always be there for you. Because at the end of the day, countries are there to protect their own people, and also to make sure that they push for their own interest. So before we go to what we have on the table today, before you go to what we have on the table today, it's quite important also to look at Malawi, as we have been speaking about, as we have been indicating to say, Malawians went to the polls on the 16th of September, that is on Tuesday, and the new electoral law, which was which put in operation by in 2023, is that the election result will only be officially released after 8 days, to allow verification, analysis, double checking, and also to avoid either is misinterpretation, and also to deal with issues of fraud, and also deal with clearing of data, because elections data are very crucial data in terms of development. Election data are very crucial data in terms of development, because they are not only going to be used to elect who is the winner and who is the loser, but they are going to be used to make sure that in terms of leadership and also views of the people. What are the people saying? It is stated that the former president of Malawi, that is Peter Mutharika, has taken an early lead in terms of elections. And also, according to provincial results, it says that Mutharika is leading. Peter Mutharika is the former president of Malawi, who was defeated 5 years ago. Now he came back, and he will make history. And I think he's imitating. I don't know if he's imitating what Trump, the comeback after you lose, when people realize that no, we have to make sure that we deal with somebody that was leading us. Stated that, you know, Malawi former president Peter Mutharika is leading. Malawi former president Peter Mutharika is leading. In the face against incumbent Lazarus Chakwera, Mutharika has roughly 51% of the vote cast, and also a quarter of nation council compared to 39% for Chakwera. So in this case, let us look at this news before we go to what we have on the table today. Then we discuss that issue. Let us look at Malawi. Then we can see what we have on the table today.
Malawi's former president, Peter Mutharika, has taken an early lead in this week's election, according to provisional results. In his face-off against incumbent Lazarus Chakwera, Mutharika has roughly 51% of votes cast in a quarter of the nation's councils, compared to 39% for Chakwera, Reuters reported on Sunday. In the 5 years since Chakwera took office, Malawi has faced economic stagnation. A cyclone and drought wiped out crops and increased food insecurity, while inflation has been above 20% for more than 3 years. Mutharika, who was in office from 2014 to 2020, has run on a platform of a return to better days. During his tenure, he was credited with lowering inflation and improving infrastructure, but critics accused him of cronyism. The Election Commission has until September 24th to announce the full provisional result of the presidential election. If neither candidate gets more than 50%, the election will go to a second round.
Yes, now it's quite crucial to look at what do we want. The question that we need to ask ourselves is that what do we want as African citizens? What do we want? Because there have been a presentation of or there have been a perception to say Africans, they are voting for change. And when you look at President Chakwera, who took over, was an opposition party, took over, was given a chance for 5 years. Then things did not turn out the way the citizens want. Things did not turn out the way the citizens want, and now they are voting him out. And now the question that we are asking ourselves, the question that we need to ask ourselves, is that what is really that we want? What is really that we are struggling to get? Because when citizens are going to elect somebody, they have a hope that these people will bring about changes. And the question that we're asking ourselves is that, is the economy of African countries in the hands of the African? Is the system that we are using allowing us to deal with our own problems? Because when Malawi 5 years ago celebrated one of the victorious celebrations to say is the end of the liberation movement, is the end of, long-term leadership or long-term leading party, then we are putting in somebody that, is new, somebody that is fresh, somebody who is look promising and Democrats. But at the end of the day, 5 years later, then they decided to say, no, we are taking him down because we want the devil that we know. We want the devil that we know. Now, are we going to say this with Botswana? Are we going to say this with Zambia? Are we going to say this with other African countries? And then the question that we're asking ourselves is that, why do we go to elections thinking that it's only politics alone that can solve our conflicts? Why can't we look beyond politics to see what are the better systems that we can use to make sure that the economy gets right? Because politics without economy is how things have been. You can go back to history. Look at the well-known and praised man, Kwame Nkrumah, who the main founder of African Union. He was overthrown. Go ahead and look at the history. He was overthrown because people got tired to say enough with rhetorics. We want to eat. We want to eat. That's why it's always very important to look at when you are analyzing politics, when you are looking at politics, do not forget the aspect of the economy. And also understand that when this person is promising me A, B, C, and D, what can I do to assist this person too? What can I do to assist this person too? And it's a question that we must bring it at home, even to say, when councillors are going to campaign, when councillors are going to campaign for local authority councillors, you must go beyond a character of a person to say, I'm going to vote David because David is telling me all the sweet words. But is David going to have power to change that system? Or what is going to change? What is the difference between David and the previous councillor? Do these councillors have power? Do regional authority councillors have power? Or they are just going to promise us the way they've been promising other people? What is the act saying in terms of delivering to the people? What is the act saying in terms of the budget? That's why we continue to change politicians, then the system will not really change so much. Unless we come to what we discussed yesterday to say democracy with African characteristics. To say, yes, it's democracy is a system, but until to the point that this system is serving the interest of the people, then we are going to be at a good line. Because at the end of the day, Malawi, and just 5 years after, they say, no man, bring the guy back, we want him, come. Now, that is something that we need to look at, especially when it's coming to African politics, and also especially when it's coming to the economy, and also governance of Africa, because we need to understand more than a system. We need to understand who does what, when, and how, before we come to the point where we abandon politics to say, no, politicians are just the same. But it's also the responsibility of us citizens to say, as a student, as a youth, what do I want from politicians? What do I want from the government? Which power does the government have? To what extent? What is that the government cannot do? What is that the government cannot do? And what is the difference between political campaign and real governance? Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's us Africans who are continue to suffering. It's us Africans who are continue to suffering. And failing to understand that there is more than what we see and what we hear. Failing to understand that there is more than what we see and also what we hear. That's why today, we are going to look at that international institution, especially the United Nations. We are going to look at that, and we are also going to analyze the system to say for how long African countries, for how long African countries have been in trouble, for how long African countries' questions were not answered, for how long their needs were not adhered to, and what is the structure and the system of United Nations? What is the structure and system of United Nations? Who is at the engine of United Nations, and why our president and also African presidents are pushing for Africa to have a permanent seat in the United Nations Security Council? And is United Nations Security Council is United Nations Charter independent from scrutiny? Is the Charter independent from scrutiny? Oh, we need to understand that. And what does it mean when you understand that? Because understanding the structure of United Nations and also understanding the structure of United Nations Security Council, its challenges and what need to be done, does not only make you to understand what's happening in terms of global diplomacy, but it also allow you to come back at home and analyze all the governing structures and the governing frameworks that are hindering progress. Because at the end of the day, you might have very good intention, but the governance framework is hindering progress. Look, for example, a local authority act which of 1992. What are the challenges there? Look at the act which is governing regional councillors. What is hindering people to be to get services there? You look at the PENGA Act to say sometimes we have good intention. Sometimes you really have good intentions. Sometimes you really want to serve the people. But those who are empowered by the act, or the act itself, is imbalanced. There is an imbalance in terms of the act. There is an inequality in terms of sharing of power. That is why today we are going to look into that. We are going to look also into what power do we have. And we are also going to look at the relevance of that to an ordinary citizen. And also maybe look at some of the case studies to say what have happened in the watch of United Nations. What have happened in the watch of United Nations? Why some people regarded as committing genocide where others are not regarded as committing genocide? Why some people are labeled as terrorists? Why some are labeled as liberation veterans or liberation heroes? Why a country, a continent like Africa, there is always emergency? Without international institution, Africa is going to collapse. Is that really true? So, let us look at a commercial break, then we'll come straight to United Nations Security Council. Why are we pushing that? Why African head of states and governments are pushing for that? Why they are not even wasting any time to make sure that when it comes to World Cup of Diplomacy, when it's coming to United Nations General Assembly, Africa must be recognized, Africa must sit at the United Nations Security Council. What is the benefit of that to me as an ordinary person? What is the benefit of that to me as a Namibian, as an African? And also, what are some of the new developments that will happen post that resolution, if it come to be? And also, if what is being proposed to be done happen. So, yeah. Let's look at the commercial break, then we'll dive straight into it.
Lipura nengeno wapombwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoewe ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa bura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapombwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoewe ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa bura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We have, the time is 57 minutes past the hour of 6. 57 minutes past the hour of 6. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And today we are looking at why African leaders, why Africans, they are so much interested in the reform of international institutions, the reform of global governance, especially when it comes to United Nations, And we are indicating to you, as it has always been stated, particularly through historical records and established documents, the establishment of United Nations 1945 was, formed with the aim of promoting global peace, security, economic, and human development. And in that structure, what is very interesting is also that those who were key role players in the establishment of United Nations were the people who, or were the countries who became victorious after the Second World War, and there is something. And when you look at the United Nations Charter, it's a very beautiful foundation of many principles of international laws. When you look at the United Nations Charter, then you understand at the heart of establishment of United Nations. So there are various organs, such as the General Assembly that you have seen. There are various organs of United Nations that happen. You have General Assembly, Security Council, Social and Economic Council, Transitionship, International Court of Justice, the Secretariats, and many others. But at the center of that is United Nations Security Council. And United Nations Security Council is a very crucial body because it has, you know, five key players who are, you know, who have power to make international decisions, who have power to allow or block resolutions. Either is made by the majority because of that act, they have that power. And it has been seen that for the past 8 years, because this year UN is 8 years, a lot of things have happened, and United Nations did not act, not really because members did not want the United Nations to act, because those who have power realized to say, we are not going to act because either we are involved or we are pushing for our interest. There's a lot of things which have happened throughout history, which United Nations act very well, and also which United Nations did not act. One of the things which I have mentioned is that get yourself time and look at what have happened between 1993 and 1994 in Rwanda. And also maybe you will also be able to understand why Paul Kagame is still head of state, why he has so much respect in DRC. I mean, sorry, in Rwanda, why he has so much respect in Rwanda. What have happened, 1993, 1994, where almost 1 million people died within the span of 8 months. Where there was a tribal war in Rwanda between the Tutsis and Hutus. But in the presence of United Nations troops, in the presence of United Nations troops, who were told to back off or to stand down, then the question that you need to ask yourself is that whose interest United Nations was supposed to serve, and whose interest is it serving? Because now when you look at how United Nations is structured, these permanent members are five. They are known as P5, where you have China, France, Russia, UK, and United States of America. And these permanent members can also allow or block the deployment of United Nations troops, either for intervention or for security reasons. Then you're wondering, if you have allies in the Security Council, you are safe. If you have allies in the Security Council, you are safe. Then you're asking yourself, is this the reason other countries are involved in war, but the world is looking away? When you have like 70,000 people killed in not more than 2 years. But it's only after that few countries now started, started recognizing Palestine, and also the results are starting to come out now that there is a genocide being committed in front of the whole world. What is the power of United Nations in terms of that? Now, let us look at Africa. Let us look at Africa in general. Africa is one of... Africa holds 30% of the world mineral composition. 30%. All other six continents of they have to divide the other 70, but Africa on its own is standing on 30%. Africa is standing on 30% minerals composition of the whole world. Africa is its population is 1.4 a billion people, and with a combined GDP of almost $3 trillion. Then when you come to global issues, when it's coming to global issues, you'll be able to realize that Africa is a bit behind. It's only us who have to be given. When it's come to global issues, Africa can even be invited by one country. Can even be invited by one country, which is quite showing how, not really to say weak, but how not so strong you are. Because if you have to leave your own continent and be invited by a country and be also given fund by that country, you realize to say, yes, it's economic power, but we could have done better than that. We could have done better than that. That's why China can just call all the 54 African president, go come to China, then we discuss how can we develop your continent. Japan did it, which is quite not something to contradict, but something that you need to ask yourself, why is this happening? It's because you are at the point where you do not have any say. You are at the point where you are still growing. Now, how can we give Africa power? How can we also give Africa power? And what is the meaning of Africa being part of United Nations Security Council? Because one thing that you need to understand is that when you have power to make international decisions, when you have power to command global peace and security, you also have power to secure investment, you have also power to do business, because no African leader would want conflict to continue happening in Africa, because since 1960s, there's no year where there's no war in Africa. There's no year. If there's no war, there's internal conflicts. But look at North America, look at South America, look at Europe. I don't want to talk about the Middle East because I'll be contradictory. Look at Australia, look at other continents, but in Africa, it's the order of the day. Conflict after conflict. Conflict after conflict. There are some people who do not know what the meaning of peace. But what is the implication of not peaceful Africa to investment, Africa with war, to trade, and also to human development? Because currently the continent is traumatized. The continent is traumatized. And what does it mean to an ordinary person? When I was talking with Matthias, I was indicating to say, when South Africa is going to host G20, in November, it's going to invite Africa, because Africa is given a seat, an observer seat at G20. It's like you going to host a meeting in your father's house. Just because you have a lot of money, then you are going to invite your father to sit at the back, actually, while you are chairing that meeting. That is show how Africa is, and what we need to do to make sure that Africa needs to get a permanent seat. Is it even going to be allowed? Because the question that we have asked also is that what does unity of Africa means to the outside world? What does unity of Africa means to an outside world? Are African leaders also maybe working together? Are they working together? Are the Francophonies and Agrophonies working together? Are those who were colonized by the British and the French working together? If they were working together, what is happening in Goma, where Kenya want to open a consul in Goma? It's quite, I don't know. It's quite contradictory to say my country is in war, somebody took over a certain province, then you want to open an office there to conduct diplomatic affairs. Yeah, maybe for the interest of your country is, but for the interest of Africa, how is it going to be? Would you want it to happen to you also? But yeah, that is where we are. That is where we are. And why should everybody know, the UN structure and the implication of not having a seat at the United Nations Security Council, because what I've indicated to you is that when you're analyzing an international legal framework, you should not only look at it from that perspective, also come down to Namibia and also look at the guiding legal frameworks or guiding frameworks which are implicating the implementation of, you know, developmental goals. Because sometimes you just need to change the law. Sometimes you just need to take away troubles by changing the law. Then you solve the problem, because there is a guiding principle. And what I indicated even yesterday is to what defines us human beings from animals is our ability to follow the rules, make the laws, follow them, and also change them, because at the end of the day we must be guided. But what is happening now, it's happening now, especially this week, and it's going to be a very interesting week. It's going to be a very interesting week, because when you look at when you look at the position, when you look at the positions of you look at the position of the world countries, even Britain now. Look at France. France has also indicated that they recognize now Palestine. They recognize now Palestine as a country. As a state. You look at British have also done. Canada has also indicated that now they recognize Palestine. And we see a bit of isolation of Israel. And what will happen to Israel? Is Israel going to be punished, or is it Israel going to be, left alone? But is it also going to be fair for Israel? Because at the end of the day, when you want global peace, you need to make sure that you also accommodate those who feel not accommodated. So yeah, let us look at, let's pay the bills and move forward. Let us pay the bills and move forward. So, you can still engage us at 083. You can still call us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko IGL FM onoreza tuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane IGL FM VI.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko IGL FM onoreza tuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane IGL FM VI.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 15 minutes past the hour 7. We are talking about United Nations Security Council. Why Africa won the permanent seat in United Nations Security Council. What is the relevance of United Nations Security Council? And what are the challenges of Africa not having a seat in United Nations Security Council? And also, what are some of the things which have happened under United Nations to watch? What are some of the things which have happened under United Nations to watch, especially in Africa? And just look at, because what you need to understand is also that it's not only about war. It's not only about peace and security. It's also about taking strategic decisions which cause permanent solutions to the problems which Africans are facing. Look at the investment in Africa. Look at the troops that is being given. Look at and DRC has been a case study for quite some times, but look at the deployment of UN troops under the leadership of South Africa. It became so chaotic. Was there enough support? Was there enough support? And that's why when we speak about this thing is to say, when our leaders are coming back from United Nations General Assembly, when they are there now, are they united? Are they united? When leaders are in New York now, are they united? Are they speaking with one voice? And if they are not speaking with one voice, what is the implication of that? What is the implication of that? And how is it going to be accepted? Because African leaders have tried to, which I think is going to work out maybe in the future, have tried to unite Africa, have tried to propose for United States of Africa. However, if they don't disappear, they lose their seats, they lose their relevance, and they lose their credibility. Because history have told you that, look at those who spoke that way to say we want United States of Africa. Even their fellow comrades and friends did not support them when trouble visited them at their doorsteps. So, and this is a thing that, also, can come back to an ordinary person, to say, what is that thing that you can do? What is that thing that you can do when you are united? What is that thing that you can do when you are united? How do you get relevant at the national or at the international level? You can only get relevance if you are united. And also, maybe something that we also do not speak about, especially in the context of Africa, which we have seen, is the issue of unnecessary competition. It's the issue of unnecessary competition. It can be seen from an individual perspective. It can also be seen at an international forum. If Africa got a permanent seat in United Nations Security Council, who is going to be there? Who is going to be there? Is it the chairperson of African Union, a political chair? Or is the chairperson of African Union Commission? Or they are going to elect somebody to sit in that council when the UN Security Council is going to sit? Who is going to be there? That is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Is it the Namibian president, South African president, or Egypt? And whose interest is going to be to serve if we are still not where we are? Because the issues of international institutions, the issues of international institutions, we have to make sure that you also lobby for support. You have so lobby for support because it's not correct. It's not correct at all to live in the richest continent in the world and we do not have anything. Do citizens understand what it means for international representation, or do we understand the benefit that we are getting from international institutions? And we also understand that when people are speaking about UN, it's not something which is far, because UN is everybody. Do we understand that? Because UN is not United States, UN is not Britain, UN is everybody. Because when you speak about United Nations, you do not only speak about, you do not only speak about those permanent members, but you speak about everybody. Do you know that in the Namibian history, in the African history, and I think it's one of the few, it's only Namibia, especially in Southern Africa, which I'm very sure about, it's only Namibia where history have taught us that it's only Namibia which at one point hosted the presidency of United Nations General Assembly. I think from 1999 to 2000 to 2000 there, in early 2000 when Dr. Theo Ben-Gurion was the first, I think, African, leader to hold that seat as a president of the United Nations General Assembly. I think that time he was the Minister of Foreign Affairs, International Relations there. And the relevance that we have, and the relevance that we have to international ground. Because when you speak about, United Nations, we must also not forget that on an international ground, Namibia is regarded as a brainchild of United Nations. We wouldn't be where we are because of United Nations. And people have spoken well about that, to say we are the brainchild of United Nations. We wouldn't be where we are without United Nations. But can we extend that? Can we extend that? Is our president getting support like many other African leaders who are supporting that? And what will happen if Africa does not get a seat at the United Nations Security Council? What will happen moving forward? Those are some of the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And those are some of the questions that we need to interrogate, because we are at a very critical juncture where it's either we are defining ourselves as a country, as a continent, or we are going to break. Because it is 80 years now. Is it 80 years now? And conflict which involve various parties happen. But in terms of peace, security, which undermine trade, it's not lasting. And mind you, while we are busy with international affairs, we must also put in mind that whenever we are busy with international affairs, our problems at home are not going away. When we are sending Namibia abroad, our problems at home are not going away. The issues of skills, the issues of innovations, the issues of trade, the issues of poverty, and the issues of gender-based violence, and it's quite increasing. This I don't know what's happening. They are not going away. We still have to deal with those problems. And I was looking at Namibia delegation to United Nations General Assembly, where it's indicated that Namibia gross is around 90.1% in terms of closing the gender gap. Which is quite an important thing, especially when it comes to gender balance. But the question is that do we really need to go back and also ask ourselves to say, in terms of being in line with United Nations a charter of gender equality and also recognition of everybody, Is it really true that gender equality reflects the outcome of what want to be done? Because remember, gender equality has been established to under affirmative action to say women have been not been given opportunity for quite some times. They were regarded as people just to work at home and raising children. But people realize that women have capacity and ability to lead as men and can be able to work in various sectors. And gender equality is there. And now it's, and it's quite something that we need to, something that we need to appreciate. And we also need to appreciate and also criticize to say, At any point in time in the world, Namibia is the only country where you have a president, a vice president, speaker of parliament, prosecutor general, a minister of finance, a strong ministry, and a minister of foreign affairs, I mean international relations to say, and a spokesperson of government, minister of foreign, communication, who are women. And, that show how powerful gender equality is. And is at any point in time, in terms of corporate sector, almost 50-50 when it's come to corporate chiefs in terms of Namibia, which is in line actually with the UN Charter and the principles of United Nations. Then the question is that, and it's quite actually controversial to what expense and also to what extent does issues of gender equality and women empowerment have, contributed to the development of our country? To what extent? And did it cause an imbalance in terms of men not to feel threatened, but in terms of empowerment? Because when you are empowering people, you are empowering them to be so balanced to come to the same scale. But did it cause a bit of imbalance or lack of empowerment of a boy child, like things that we are seeing now? Because remember, at the end of the day, you must get the results that you come out. You must get the results that you come out. Because, and I'm saying this with cautious, and I have to tread very careful. Because for the past 35 years, we have a lot of challenges in Namibia. Then we have tried to bring about, say, no, let's bring everybody on board. Then, not to be directed to gender. Can we also look at the effectiveness? I like what President, have said to say, I'm not voted because I'm a woman. I'm voted because I'm able to do it. Can you also have the same sentiment to say, when you are in line with international laws and, international principles of gender equality, can you also look at competence? Can you also look at competence and ability of people to do things? Because at the end of the day, people must eat. Not must be seen as they are eating. People must eat. Service must be delivered and not people to be seen as delivering services because they put what they put. So that's why it's quite very important also to be a bit careful and also look at getting competency, not in the expense of inclusion, but balancing those two to make sure that we should not blame each other at the end of the day. Because looking at Vision 2030 and the final JEP, or the final uppercut that is NDP 6, that is the final punch that need to be used to take down all the problems that Namibia have. We still have a lot of works to do. So, dear listeners, it's 29 minutes past the hour of 7. We have around 30 minutes there before we give the mic to Mike, before we come to the end of our conversation. However, you can still engage us. You can still engage us in terms of what you have discussed. Either is the elections in Malawi. Either is Kenya want to open a diplomatic office in the area which is captured by M23. Either is a United Nations Charter or the issue of gender equality or the issue of international development. So let us look at the Namib meals and pay the bills.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills, feeding the
nation. Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to 30 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And just for your own information. Just for your own information, there is this ongoing commission of inquiry, which is happening in South Africa. It's happening in South Africa because you need to understand that South African politics is at test. South African politics is at test, where you have people called to testify before Mandlang Commission. And what you need to understand is also that the past 4 months or so, last 3 months or so, South African security cluster has been in limbo. Been in limbo, where you have a commissioner of a province, General Mkwananzi, Nana Mkwananzi, who exposed that no, the judicial system, these people who are interpreting the law, the judges, the magistrate, some of them, they are working together with syndicates. Some of them, they are funding criminals. And he brought about this bombshell and exposed seniors within the police cluster, crime intelligence, and also other agencies in South Africa, which are dealing with law enforcement, from police officers, judges, magistrates, investigators, and also to politicians. To that point, until to the point where the president was, left with no choice but to put the police minister on leave. That is Mr. Sezon Kunu, who at one point, have been seen as a strong candidate for ANC next elections, but he was put on leave due to allegations of corruptions and working together with syndicates and criminals in South Africa. At that point is also the point where the deputy police commissioner or deputy national commissioner, because as we have inspector general of the police and deputy inspector general of the police, but in South Africa they have They have a national commissioner, or national police commissioner, commissioner general, and also deputy national police commissioner. At the point where you have a minister of police who is put on leave, who some people are calling it suspension leave, and the deputy minister, I mean a deputy national police commissioner is also suspended, then you have again the national commissioner who is testifying and is the only person standing there who is testifying, and also that who exposed what is alleged to be the case is served to testify, and the whole of last week General Nkwananzi took a stand, and he mentioned very strong points regarding the South Africa security cluster, and also the operations, the sanctions, the fundings, and also the communications between those strong criminals and those who are in the police. And you are just asking yourself to say, wow, what is really happening in South Africa? And how are these things going to be handled? And who is not involved? But as indicated, there's still an ongoing there's still ongoing testification of the police commissioner, that is Fanny Masemola, testifying, and we see how things are going to turn out. How things are going to turn out, because remember, South Africa is also preparing for the future, particularly the ANC government, and also the development in terms of how things are going to be handled in terms of politics, and also the economy of South Africa. And remember that it's not only that there have been a lot of cases with South Africa law enforcement authority, even prosecuting authority. And there's also ongoing parliamentary committee, which is set to deal with this matter. And amidst all this which is happening, there's also something that you have to call investor confidence. Something that you have to call investors confidence, because not only us at the crossroad, it's also South Africa. It's our big brother. There's also investor confidence, because if you have a system that is not protecting you, if you have a system that is not protecting its celebrities, where musicians are being shot here and there, those of you who support AK, the late AK, you must follow this commission. You may be also able to get information regarding who was responsible for those things. And what is interesting in this regard is that the security system and also the political system, if there is no stability, it will definitely affect investors' confidence. It will affect the business, and also it will also affect those who want to get involved with you. Because remember, as I indicated earlier, that South Africa is at the crossroad. If the politicians are not dealing with these matters, why it's early, it will affect the economy worse. Because you are already hit by tariffs. Remember, you're already hit by 30% tariffs in South Africa. You already have a coalition government which does not have the outright winner. And there are also talks of South Africa being excluded from Angola. where it's still in the air, whether it's going to be renewed or not. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is that while we are so concerned with what's happening in South Africa, we are also concerned with ourselves. We are very cognizant that when South Africa is going down, doesn't even decide that we are going down, but we are going to be hit. You have to be hit economically and also in terms of a logistical supply. Because if the investor loses confidence in South Africa, if the 30% in possession affect the predicted 30% jobs plus the removal of South Africa from Africa and Growth and Opportunity Act, it means that we are also going to suffer in that regard. Then the question also, what we are always asking is that whatever is happening, what is that that we can learn? Because we are always interested in the case studies of other countries and the phrase of when other men are going down, you must learn, must apply, not only to some people, but must apply to South Africa too, to say when South Africa is in a very difficult position, what is that lesson that we need to learn when South Africa security system, when South Africa police force is in chaos? What is that that Namibia can learn from that? What is that that we can, what to do and what not to do? So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 8 o'clock. And today, as like many other days, we are interrogating matters of governance, matters of economy, and matters of concern, particularly those that which has to do with development, that which affect us directly or indirectly. That is why today on the table we speak about what is happening globally, especially United Nations Security Council, and also what is happening in our neighboring country, where we look at the ongoing commission of inquiry, where the National Police Commissioner General is revealing everything which has been done behind closed doors. And you just hope that should be dealt with immediately, because if not, we are going to see what will happen moving forward. So, the time is 42 minutes past the hour of 7. It's 42 minutes past the hour of 7. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop. And also, you can still engage us at 083-888-401-083-888-401. So, when you ask your question, look at the content of the matter and also ask yourself to say, why should I have to be concerned with this news? Why should I have to be concerned with this news? Why should I have to be concerned with what is happening? Because at the end of the day, whatever you engage into, ask yourself, what is there that I will gain from this? What is that that Namibia can learn from this? What is that that Namibia will be able also to learn? What is that that we need to do and not to do? Because at the end of the day, case studies are being presented and it's up to us to take notes. It's also up to us to take notes. So, dear listeners, let us look at commercial break. Then we'll look at what is our delegation saying. What is our delegation saying at UN? Then we can give the mic to Dwight to unpack the day. Because at the end of the day need to be unpacked. What are the new developments? What is happening? And also, what are the challenges? And also, opportunities which are there. So, let us pay the bills. Then we can come and look at what our delegation is saying at UNGA. What is happening there at UNGA? Because today, I think today is the beginning of real business. Today is the beginning of real business at the United Nations General Assembly. And that will end in Thursday, I believe, And we see, where is Namibia? Who represents Namibia there? What is the position? What is the strength of our delegates? Because I think it's almost like everybody's there. It's like we went with a real mission. But we went with a real mission. Because I've seen, the Director General of the National Planning Commission is there. Seeing Feni Tuchavi, the youngest parliamentarian, is there. And we also see, I believe, if the president and her delegation, the Minister of International Relations and Trade is there. See the Minister of Dr. Emma Katema is there. I think it's quite a very strong delegation. And it's going to be crucial when you see the outcome of that. And for understanding is also that, you know, the thing of diplomacy, you will not see the tangible outcomes at that moment, but we want to see the commitment to see what deals were broken there, what deals were broken, and also what other agreements which we entered into. Because at the end of the day, that who is outside in the name of Namibia should at one point come back with feedback and also with results, at least to say we bring about something. And everybody, people are still waiting. They can't wait to see the president taking a stand for the first time as the president of the country, particularly in front of world leaders, around 150 head of state and government at in New York. And yeah, let us pay the bills and we come and see what is happening there and move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 48 minutes past the hour of 7. We are progressing at an understandable pace toward the end of our program. That is Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, just before we come to the end of our conversation, it's quite important also to look at what the president of Namibia has to say, especially at the United Nations General Assembly. Because remember, when leaders go to United Nations General Assembly, you don't just go and go straight into the meeting. There are side events, side meetings, there are various platforms before the real business. And there are various international conferences under United Nations. And maybe it's also important for us to look at what the president has to say, especially what the president of Namibia, Dr. Netumbo, has to say, especially during the high-level meeting on 13th anniversary of 4th World Conference on Women. Because remember, there have been, different principles and also resolutions of United Nations, particularly in upgrading the rights of women, participation of women, protection of women during war. And when you look at UN, the conventions and the instruments, particularly on human rights, they always underline the aspect of women and children's rights. And in that speech of a high-level meeting on 13th anniversary of 4th World Conference on Women, the President of the Republic of Namibia indicated that as we stated, that Namibia have prioritized gender equality since 1990. And the president also noted the Women's Rights Conference that happened 13 years ago in China. And also they also mentioned the Beijing Declaration, which look at what progress is done in terms of political inclusion, legal reform, and also commitment of achieving women empowerment. And in this context, when you look at sustainable developmental goals of or even sustainable developmental goal in terms of gender equality in Namibia, we must praise ourselves. We must praise ourselves for that, especially in recognizing the rights of women. And we must also put in mind that what is that that we want and where are we going, because at the end of the day, how can this be practically implemented and also with tangible outcome? And she also mentioned that there is also something that is, work far from being done. And it's quite a very diplomatic language to say. As we reflect on our progress, we also aware that our work is far from being done. There are areas where there is room for improvement. And one of the things that stated is there is economic inclusion. It's economic inclusion. And when you speak about economic inclusion, you also speak to say, although there is gender equality, one of the statistics that is stated here is that 70% of informal traders, being female, in particular young women, they still do not have access to credit, land, and market. And yeah, when you go to, going to open market, most of the people who are there are women with their children. And it's unfair to call them even informal traders, because these are just traders, the vendors. These are women who are not sleeping. Whereas men, we wake up and dance, although we also have hardworking men, which I'm included because I don't want to be excluded from that. You'll be able to realize that, most of these women, some they are still suffering gender-based violence, but they are still working and they are still pushing. That's why what stated that there is a lot of works which need to be done. There's a lot of works which need to be done on the ground of gender equality and also women inclusion. And one of the things is also that there is National Gender Equality and Equity Policy of 2025 and 2035 to 2035. And I'm always saying, when these policies are being mentioned, let us go and read what are those things, so that we can hold our government accountable, so that we can also know which institutions are responsible for these things, so that we look informed when the president is mentioning to say, no, we see a lot of young women are selling across the road at an open market, informal traders, and they do not have access to finance and all these things. This is a very strong speech. But I say, but say, state that to say, no, for us to address that, for us to address that, we came up with, Namibia National Gender Equality and Equity Policy of 2025 to 2035. It's a new policy, 2025 to 2035. Go and download that gender equality and equity policy. What is mentioned there? What are some of the targets that need to be achieved in that line? Or is just a document? And how you can also come in, because you can be an activist of gender equality. You can be a student of social work, student of psychology, or a social scientist to say, but you don't read that policy which stated, you don't read that. You do not know even how it looks like, because those are our guiding principles. That's why the other time when we were talking about youth affairs, I said, no, there is a National Youth Policy 1, 2, and 3, I believe. National youth policies which were evaluated and well drafted, with well targets, with all the international instruments referenced. But when it's coming to policies, implementation of national youth policy is, I'm not talking about now, but in the past 5 years, it's equivalent to 2% of what is being stated. Now, gender equality is there on the table. It's not only about you getting an opportunity, it's also about you, understanding how you can assist those men who are sitting at, open market in Oshakati, open market in, DRC, open markets in Okahanja, in Rundu, at Stop and Shop, at Havana Fourway, and any other places that you find those hardworking women. And what is this policy saying? Oh, it's just a document. Because remember, for you to come up with a policy is not an easy business. It's a very expensive business. You need data, you need consultants, you need researchers, you need the verifications, you need editor of these documents. And is the policy serving its purpose, or is just a policy? So let's take the caller. Hello?
David?
Yes, Chief?
Let me take 1 minute, man.
Yeah, no, you can absolutely do that.
So you see, the issue of DRC.
Yeah.
Now, the president of Kenya, if he has to do that, I think he has to do through the legitimate government.
But he's talking to those who are in power.
they that side, you know, those ones are rebels. Even if they are in power, they are not legitimately elected.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, there's no way you can get into contractual agreement with them, because otherwise it appears if he's the one who is prolonging the war.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they can negotiate about the peace, like those other ones who were there.
Yeah.
The other thing is the liberation struggle.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, those people, they have got more rooted support in the masses.
Which one?
The liberation movement.
They have what?
The liberation movement.
Yeah.
We were talking about Malawi.
Yeah.
So some of, you see, those liberation movements, they have got, they have acquired a lot of experience in terms of administrative or governance and things like that. Because their government structure did not just start from the time when they got independent. So, unlike the opposition, The opposition now, for example, in Namibia, yeah, how many people are employed by opposition party?
No.
As compared to SWAPO party, for example.
No, it's quite a strong argument. It's quite a strong argument. My argument is here to say, people, when they are in a democratic environment, they look at what they want. Like what happened in Malawi, they realize to say, no, Peter Mutharika, you have been in power for these years. You did not do anything for us. Let us take you out and put Chakwera. Then it became worse. Then they say, no, come back. Because they are not happy with what Peter Mutharika did. They think it could be better compared to what they have tested.
It's always like that because, sometimes there are a lot of voices. And these voices, sometimes they can sway the masses also.
Yeah.
Through deception and all these things.
Yeah.
But now you talk sweet things, but you don't have anything, a governance structure really established. And for you to reach the masses, unlike those people who have been there in the masses.
Yeah.
So it can be very difficult. Maybe it's just a kind of thing. I think the conclusion is just that in South Africa, what is happening there, so people will really need to seriously deep and analyze those people who are in power. Sometimes they can fail you.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, David. We can continue next time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for input.
Yes, we are 1 minute into the ground that is not ours. We are 1 minute we are 1 minute into Mike and Dwight's program.